السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. The lives of Sahaba رضي الله عنهم show us the great effort of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. How Allah's Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم molded them, prepared them and trained them to be a benefit, to be a salvation, to be guidance for the whole of mankind. This Sahabi that we discuss, our hero, like all Sahaba radiallahu anhum, are our heroes. Our hero in today's discussion is that great son of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So we see what family he comes from. Siddiq Akbar's family, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's son, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's eldest child, by the name Abdul Rahman. His name in the past was Abdul Ka'ba or Abdul Uzza, and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam renamed him Abdul Rahman. What a family he comes from, what lineage he comes from, we all know very, very well. The family of this great Sahabi radiallahu anhu. Ibn Qutayba rahmatullah alayhi says that there are these four links to this lineage, four links in this chain. All are Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is exclusive to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's family. Number one being Abu Quhafa, Uthman Abu Quhafa, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's father. Number two being Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu himself, the greatest Sahabi. Number three being his eldest son Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr, the son of Abu Bakr. And number four being Muhammad bin Abdul Rahman, Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu's son Muhammad. All four in this link are the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is the family the Sahabi comes from. So his father was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. His mother was Ummu Ruman. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and whose wife was Ummu Ruman radiallahu anha. So Abdul Rahman and Aisha radiallahu anha were brothers and sisters from Ummu Ruman. So their father was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and their mother was Ummu Ruman radiallahu ta'ala anha, who was the mother-in-law of Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's many ahadith and to show the greatness of this sahabiya Ummu Ruman radiallahu ta'ala anha. What about Abu Bakr radiallahu, what about Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu's grandmother, meaning his father's mother, was Salma bintu Sakhr. Salma bintu Sakhr. Salma bintu Sakhr, not Ummu Salama. Salama is a different pronunciation. This Sahabiya's name, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's mother, was Salma. And my mothers and sisters and my elders and brothers know the great incidents of how Salma radiallahu anha accepted Islam through the efforts of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And she made the khidmat of her son. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was then taken to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by his mother. And Allah's Nabi looks at Abu Bakr, who was so badly injured and sacrificed so much in the cause of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah's Nabi says, sees Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And the first request Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu made to Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Nabi of Allah, make dua, Allah give my mother hidayat. Allah's Nabi made dua for her. And Salma bintu Sakhr accepted Islam. She embraced Islam in the early stages. So Salma bintu Sakhr radiallahu anha, the grandmother of Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abdul Rahman was such a great Sahabi. His sisters were so great. What a family they come from. Allahu Akbar. The entire family of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. It's just nur, musk and fragrance and purity and pure intent, pure objectivity. What a family. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu's sisters. Two of them were wedded by Al-Ashara Mubashara. Ashara Mubashara married them. Meaning, Zubair bin Awam radiallahu anhu was one of the Ashara Mubashara. He was the husband of Asma bintu Abi Bakr radiallahu anha. And Talha bin Ubaidillah was from the Ashara Mubashara. He was married to Abdul Rahman's sister, Ummu Kulthum binti Abi Bakr. That's Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu's other sister. And Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu's closest sister. They were so close in the history books and the books of ahadith. It portrays how close was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu to his sister who was Ummul Mu'mineen.
the greatest of women, the blessed wife of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and our mother, Aisha, Ma Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Abdul Rahman and Aisha radiallahu anhuma had such a wonderful close relationship and friendship as brother and sister. Going back into the life of Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made effort on him. And even in the early stages also, he didn't embrace Islam, but he had such purity in him. And being among the leaders of the Quraysh, he fought against Islam at the initial stages. So we learn from there also. Allah is the giver of hidayat, and Allah Ta'ala gives hidayat at the correct time. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not stop making effort. That's why he participated in Badr and Uhud, but not at the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but with the disbelievers. And later on, it was during the time of Sulhul Hudaybiyah, where it was the last straw in the back of the camel, meaning Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu was so touched, he became such a great Muslim and such a glorious Sahabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So even when he embraced Islam, he said to his father, "Father, I saw you in previous battles, but I stayed away. I didn't want to harm you." Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu says, "But my son, if I were to see you, I would have not let you go. I would have fought you and killed you, my son, because you were standing up against Allah's deen." Look at the purity of the father. Look at his sincerity. That he didn't look at the fact that this is my son in front of me. He looked at the person who is standing up against deen. So I will go for him no matter who he may be, whether he is my son or even my father. This was the iman of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, that they did not compromise on the order of Allah, and they did not compromise the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu became such a great Muslim that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam titled him Abdul Rahman, the servant of Rahman. It's reported in the hadith, Sa'id bin Musayyab rahimahullah narrates, reports this. He says, "Ma ta'allaqa ala Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakrin bikithbatin fil Islam." Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr was such, he never ever lied. He was a man of purity. He was a man of truthfulness. In other words of the hadith, this hadith is in Hakim, in his Mustadrak, that kana Abdul Rahman bin Abi Bakr lam yujarrab alayhi kithbatun qattu. He never ever lied in his life. All his life he was a trader, even in his past. And when he embraced Islam also, he was a very, very great trader. And he spent his life serving Allah Ta'ala's deen from the time he embraced Islam. Scholars explain, خرج عبد الرحمن بن أبي بكر في فتية من قريش هاجروا إلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قبل الفتح. Before فتح مكة, he migrated to Medina Munawwara to spend his life in the company of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And this report mentions, وكان امرأ صالحا فيه دعابة. He was a very pious individual, and he had a humorous character in him, meaning he had a wonderful sense of humor radiallahu ta'ala anhu, similar to his father Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu became very, very close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to such an extent that very, very important matters Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would assign to Abdul Rahman, that Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu should take care of these matters. Very, very important incidents and occasions, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call him. For example, the time when Aisha radiallahu anha says, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's illness intensified, he called for Abdul Rahman. Da'a Abdul Rahman ibn Abi Bakr. And he said, "Oh Abdul Rahman, i'tini bi katifin hatta aktub." Bring for me some writing material. So I want to write something. I want to document something that the ummah must not disunite after me, to keep that unity. Abdul Rahman was getting up, then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Okay Abdul Rahman, sit down. Allah will refuse anybody except Abu Bakr. The believers will refuse anybody except Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu." In another report, "Ma'adha Allah ay yakhtalif al-mu'minun fi Abi Bakrin." That Allah forbid that the mu'mineen can ever differ and have differences of opinion regarding Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, meaning being the ruler after me. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu to document this, so the ummah must not disunite. But then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew in his heart that leave it to the ummah, because the ummah will see nobody as fit for the task of Khilafah like Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw it opportune to leave it to the Ummah, to decide it, because he knew that the Ummah know that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is the greatest. Even on one occasion, in the Sahih reports of Bukhari and so forth, the books of Hadith, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ill in his home. Aisha radiallahu anha says that Allah had blessed me. كان من نعمة الله علي وحسن بلائه عندي. Allah's great favor upon me. But that when Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left this world, it was in my home. And not only in my home, it was in my turn also. Monday was on Aisha radiallahu anha's turn. But that entire week before that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was by her. But he left this world and it was her turn. Not that it was, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was by her because he was very ill and it was hard for him to shift every day. But it was also Aisha radiallahu anha's day with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he left this world and he was reclining on my chest and by my neck. And Allah united between my saliva and his before he left this world. So her student, Qasim bin Muhammad. Now this is a great scholar of hadith and he's a tabi'i. Al-Qasim ibn Muhammad. Qasim was his name, the son of Muhammad. Who is this Muhammad, my respected listeners? This Muhammad is another son. He's another son of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So he's a brother of Abdul Rahman. He's also a sahabi. So Qasim bin Muhammad. So Qasim bin Muhammad. He grew up in front of Aisha radiallahu anha because his father was assassinated in Egypt. So Qasim grew up in front of Aisha radiallahu anha. And who used to take care of him? Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu, uncle, used to take care of him. And his auntie Aisha radiallahu anha used to take care of him and his sister Qasim. So Aisha radiallahu anha is teaching this little youngster, her nephew, this hadith in her home, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Allah ta'ala unified between my saliva and Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saliva. So this young, great student of deen and the student of Aisha radiallahu anha, this nephew of Aisha radiallahu anha asks that, tell me, how did Allah ta'ala unite between your saliva and his? So Aisha radiallahu anha responds that Abdul Rahman came in. Abdul Rahman, my brother, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's son, Ummu Ruman's son. And he came to visit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he had a miswak in his hands. And the miswak was fresh. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved the miswak. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam glancing at that miswak. So I said, can I take it for you? He indicated, yes. I took it from my brother. I softened it in my mouth. And then I put it into Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's mouth. And he made miswak with that miswak. And he cleansed and he used that miswak. And that's how Allah Ta'ala unified between his saliva and my saliva. Let's take this lesson. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is so ill, but he is using miswak. My respected listeners, let us give importance to the sunan, to the sunnats of Janabi Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's sunnats are so beautiful, are so perfect. They are the means of hidayat. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to make this compulsory on the ummah, but just because he didn't want to make it difficult, that's why he didn't make it compulsory. But Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam utilized the miswak all the time. It is something that we should utilize, meaning at the times of miswak, when making wudu before salah, when making wudu before making tilawat of the Quran, and so forth. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would come home with his mouth after using miswak. So what an important sunnah is the utilization of the miswak. Even the salah is multiplied 70 times its fold just through the utilization of miswak. There's two people performing nafil namaz, for example. One man is performing 2 rakat salah. The other man, his 2 rakats is multiplied 70 times. That 2 rakats is like 70 rakats. Subhanallah. So that's the beauty of the sunnah. The sunnah actually enhances our life. The sunnah of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam uplifts us in life, gives us barakat and gives us an increase in our nekis. So let us bring alive this sunnah. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Jibreel alayhi salam would always come and advocate and advise me to use the miswak. And I used so much miswak that I even felt maybe my teeth will fall. Meaning that's to emphasize the fact that we should utilize the miswak, my respected listeners. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used Abdurrahman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's miswak. So we see from there how close was Abdurrahman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu to the family of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was in and out of the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And many ahadith he narrates from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And you have to be in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to hear the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abdurrahman radiyallahu anhu says, we were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this one task or expedition, and we were 130 of us. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked the Sahaba, is there any one of you who has some meals? Is there any one of you who has meals? Is there any one of you who has meals? So when Sahabi radiallahu anhu comes forth and says, I have a sa', one sa' of, you know, some barley. A sa' is approximately 3 to 4 kg. So that was needed and that was prepared. Then a non-Muslim comes forth with a flock and he comes in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as though he wanted to give it to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wanted to clarify, is it for sale or are you giving it to me? He said, no, I am selling it. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam purchased one sheep and it was prepared. Then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed that the meal should be taken, specifically the liver and so forth, bi sawadil batni. The liver was then prepared instantaneously. Wa aimullah. Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu says that every one of us 130, except that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam cut off pieces from the liver of that sheep, and everyone received a chunk of meat from the liver of that sheep. Everyone who was there present at that time received. In kana shahidan a'ta, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him with his hands. Wa in kana ghaiban, if a certain sahabi of this group of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not present, khabba'a lahu, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam put it one side, this is for so and so, this is for so and so, this is for so and so. And then after that it was put into two plates and we all ate, and then they were still left. From the one plate they were still left, I actually kept it on the camel, you know, for later on in the journey and so forth. This report comes in Bukhari Sharif. Another very important lesson there is, those who were there with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi, they're part of his jamaat, of his group. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi gave them. Those who were not there, they're also part of his group, but they gone for some errand, they gone for some task. Allah's Nabi sallallahu mercy that he kept for them. No, not that they absent at the moment, so we leave, we forget about them. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave importance to every sahabi radiallahu anhu, and gave importance to every sati. We learn from there. When we're traveling, care for each and every one. If we don't just leave one behind, we have concern and care and consideration for everyone. Everyone must be comfortable. Everyone should get a share. So there are many ahadith where Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu reports. One report of Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala anhu is narrated by Qais bin Zayd, and the whole sanad comes in Musnad Ahmad. Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu reports this hadith about the deaths, about the harms of deaths, and also what happens to a person with regard to deaths when he was sincere. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah ta'ala will call the person who took deaths in this world and then he passed away, and he will be told, Ya ibn Adam, فِيمَ أَخَذْتَ هَذَا الدَّيْنِ, why have you taken this debt? And how come you didn't fulfill the rights of people? So this banda of Allah's will respond, O Allah, إِنَّكَ تَعْلَمْ أَنِّي أَخَذْتُهُ فَلَمْ أَأْكُلْ, I have taken this debt out of necessity, my Allah. It's not that I took the debt to eat or drink or enjoy or buy new clothes. I did not waste that money. I took it just to fulfill some duty, because what I had was completely lost. وَلَكِنْ أَتَى عَلَى يَدَيَّ إِمَّا حَرَقٌ وَإِمَّا سَرَقٌ وَإِمَّا وَضِيعًا. Oh Allah, different people will have different answers. My wealth had completely been blazed and destroyed, or it was stolen, or my wealth was drowned in the ocean, or some calamity had befallen me. Because of that, I took the debt, and that calamity had befallen the debt and I couldn't pay it back even though I tried my best. Or even in this context, it would mean, O Allah, what forced me to take the debt was because of the circumstances that had befallen me. O my Allah, I tried my best to pay it, but my wealth had been completely destroyed. I didn't live a life of opulence and luxury, but I tried my best. So Allah Ta'ala will say that, you have the right that I will pay your debts, and this person will be forgiven, and Allah will instruct that the scale of good deeds will supersede the scale of evil deeds, and this person will enter Jannah through the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala. So we learn from there that we shouldn't take debts. But if a person took a debt sincerely and his intention is to pay and he tried his best to pay, Allah Ta'ala will make a way for him. But that person who takes someone's right and he just postpones payment, this is also hated in the deen of Allah Ta'ala. مَطَلُ الْغَنِيِّ ظُلْمٌ, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam states, when a man has the affordability to pay back and he refuses and he delays, that is a great injustice, and this person's soul will be delayed in its entry into Jannat. Why? Because he died without paying his debt, even if he was a shaheed. Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu used to narrate these hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What's very interesting about Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu also is he used to narrate the hadith to his sons, to his children. His sons and his children are actually the narrators who narrate this hadith from him. And many scholars besides them as well, many of the great muhaddithin, great muhaddithin, Shuraih al-Qadi rahimahullah, Musa bin Wardan rahimahullah, Abdul Rahman bin Abi Layla rahimahullah, all these great tabi'een used to narrate from him. But his sons used to narrate from him. Abdullah rahimahullah, Abdullah rahimahullah, Hafsa rahimahullah, the sons of Abdul Rahman used to narrate the hadith from, say, the sons of Abdul Rahman, and his nephews, his nephew Qasim and so forth would narrate his ahadith. So we learn a great lesson there, that we should teach hadith and deen and ta'aleem and Quran Sharif to our children, to our nephews, to our grandchildren. It's amazing, my respected listeners, the lesson we learned as we just returned now from Bangladesh, visiting the brothers, our people, our Muslim brothers in Rohingya, from Rohingya coming to Bangladesh. What was so amazing was how the people of Bangladesh welcomed them so lovingly. How they treat them so lovingly, as we always heard from our ulama and our elders, that the people of Bangladesh are so kind and so soft and so full of khidmat. Really, it's a very, very amazing quality of theirs. And what was amazing was also the fact that when we went into the camps wherein our Muslims of Rohingya, who are now in Bangladesh, the way they are living with such simplicity, visiting them in their homes. Every camp has a masjid, has a musalla, has a madrasa. A madrasa is running in every masjid. Maktab ta'aleem is taking place. Walking past their room, walking past the musalla, the way we hear those little children learning the Quran al-Kareem, studying deen, having alim classes, learning hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that was so touching. And those ulama that are teaching them are ulama from Rohingya, who actually left from their countries, from their country, to protect themselves, and they came and they didn't leave the teaching of deen. One great scholar we met at the age of 110, Qari Hazrat Murana Shakir Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat Murana Shakir Damat Barakatuhum, who was a special close student of Hazrat Murana Hussein Ahmed Madani Rahmatullah Ali, 110 years old, and the way he was reading the Quran Kareem. We met great ulama, Shaykhul Hadith, at the ages of 90, and the way they are teaching deen and the way they are teaching hadith. And we realize how these people protected their iman for over 8 decades of atrocity and difficulty was the way they teach the Quran, the way they teach the deen to their children, that they don't lose their iman. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq also to give importance to the teachings of deen, to Quran Sharif. In spite of all challenges, all conditions being against them, they didn't stop teaching their children Quran. And we give our due to the ulama, who in spite of not expecting any remuneration, but still teaching the children deen, teaching the children Quran, without anybody giving them anything. Allahu Akbar, that was really something very, very emotional for us to experience there. Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu left this world in the year 58 Hijri. He left Madinah Munawwara with his, travelers, with his Jamaat. They were on their way to Makkah Mukarramah, and it was late. It was at a place called Hubshi, few miles out of Makkah Mukarramah. And it was late at night when they went to rest. And the next morning they all get up, and they waiting for Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu to get up. And he doesn't wake up. And they realized that he had passed away. So all of them were very, very sad. But it was a very, very great lesson for everyone, and it was a reminder how Allah Ta'ala takes one's life. Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu was that sahabi. It's reported that he passed away in that condition. He passed away in his sleep, meaning he went to sleep and he didn't wake up after that. Allah Ta'ala took his life. And Allah Ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, that Allah Ta'ala takes the life. Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtaha wallati lam tamut fi manamiha fayumsiku allati qada 'alayha al-maut wa yursilu al-ukhra ila ajalin musamma. So he, in the morning, he doesn't wake up. And then he was then carried into Makkah Mukarramah, and he was buried there. Aisha radiallahu anha, later on when she came, she went to visit the grave of her brother,
She said, "I actually feel bad that he wasn't buried where he passed away. He just passed away fajatan." Aisha radiallahu anha said, "I felt actually quite very bad after that. But then Allah Ta'ala taught me a lesson where one woman came to visit me, and in my home she made salah. She made sajda and she didn't wake up after that from that sajda. So it was actually a reminder that how death can come at any time. Inna fi hadhihi la'ibra li." And Aisha radiallahu anha said that was actually a lesson, that Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu also passed away just like that in his sleep. Allah Ta'ala is the one that causes, and Allah Ta'ala does that as He wants. So Aisha radiallahu anha was very, very close to her brother Abdul Rahman. That's why the poem of Mutammim ibn Nuwayra, when he mentions his brother Malik, وَكُنَّا كَنَدْمَانِي جَذِيمَةَ حِقْبَةً مِنَ الدَّهْرِ حَتَّى قِيلَ لَيَّ تَصَدَّعَا فَلَمَّا تَفَرَّقْنَا كَأَنِّي وَمَالِكَ لِطُولِ اجْتِمَاعٍ لَمْ نَبِتْ لَيْلَةً مَعَا. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha used to render this in regards to her brother Abdul Rahman, that we were like the two special or close companions of Jadima, wherein we would sit together and we spent years of our life together. And it was mentioned that they will never separate. But then when we separated Abdul Rahman, it was as though myself and Malik, because we were so together for such a long period of time, when we separated, it was as though we were never together before. So she's indicating to the fact that I was with my brother and we were so close, but years have gone by and he has passed away. It's as though we weren't together. That's how death just comes to take one's life. So every one of us have to leave this world. Abdul Rahman radiallahu anhu gave his life for Allah's deen. The thing is to serve Allah's deen and then leave this world, like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum did, like Abdul Rahman radiallahu ta'ala anhu did. Let us take a few moments to read three quotes for this great Sahabi and all the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq to emulate the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil ummi bi rahmatika ya arhamar.